by his side I shall stand. I shall know him. I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we believe we shall know you. You're a spirit, and we shall know your spirit, Lord. And your spirit shall bear witness with our spirit as we cry, Abba, Father. Lord, help us today. Visit us with your spirit today, Lord. Lord, I pray that you touch each and every one that's here today. Not just the hearing of your word, but experiencing the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we would love to see you come just the same as you came on the day of Pentecost. Sound of a mighty rushing wind filled all the house where they were sitting. Cloven tongues of fire hung among them. Lord, they tried to speak in their own language, and they were heard in another language. The supernatural power of God surging through them, oh God. What a change it makes, Lord. Lord, there may be some here today that have never accepted you, Lord. And Lord, I can't make them do that. But I believe you, by your Spirit, can touch a soul. And in an instant, in a moment, make a change for all eternity. Lord, reach down your hand today. Touch us, Lord, each and every one of us. If someone's not a Christian, may today be the day that they accept you, Lord, and receive you into their heart. If someone is a Christian here, Lord, and they're fighting the good fight, lift up the hands that hang down. Help them, Lord, to realize that you're mindful of them, Lord, today. Give us that which we have need of to continue this journey. Bless us all today, Lord. If there's any sick in our midst, heal them, oh God. I think of Brother Jamie texted me, Lord. He said he's fighting sickness. Lord, go to him right now. Right now, Lord. By your stripes we were healed. Touch him, Lord. He'd want to be here today. Just Satan hindering God. And for all those in our midst that are fighting sickness and spiritual chains, oh God, break the chains, oh God. Set the captives free that we could worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Bless the reading of your word now. I commit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. While we're standing, let's turn in the Bible. I'm sorry I don't have the scriptures up on the board again. It's my fault. We're working on that system to make it better. And we hope eventually to have the songs that we're singing up there and everything. But today, you're just going to have to turn with your Bibles. John 15. John 15, and I'm going to start with verse 5. Praise the Lord Jesus. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. We know that's true. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we know the heavens above us shall pass away, the earth beneath us shall pass away, but your word shall never pass away. And we anchor our souls and we rest our souls today on the word of the living God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Lord, help us today. Quicken your word to us. Bless your people. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to speak about the joy of the Lord today. And I think it's a very important subject, actually, even though it's a simple subject. And I was telling Amber or Maureen or something, you know, sometimes when I'm studying the Word of God and I feel led to talk about something, the battles I fight are in my mind where the devil's saying, well, that's too simple, you know, that's too simple. See, and I struggle with my own flesh man, my own carnal mind, because by faith, I believe that God dwells in simplicity, see? And so, but, you know, the enemy, he wants to keep these precious truths from us, and so he doesn't want us to talk about things that actually will make a difference in our life. Love and mercy and grace, and today the joy of the Lord. It's such a simple subject. You think, well, that's too simple. You know, we're an educated people. You know, we're in the message. You know, we're in the deep things of God. Listen, this is deep today. I want to tell you, there's something deep within this subject that'll affect your life and help you overcome if we can really grasp a hold of it. So I want you to just pray, say, God, help me to see what you want me to see. Now notice he says abide many times in this. Jesus says abide. What does abide? It means stay. Stay, you know. If ye abide in me, if we stay in him and my words abide in you, they stay in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's a promise of God. That's not Brother John saying that. That's Jesus saying that. It's true. It's absolute. You can believe that. If we abide in him, his word abides in us, ask what you will. See, praise God. Now, bear much fruit if we abide. And then he talks about joy and love. And he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy... His joy, not human joy, but the joy of Jesus, the joy of the Lord is a real thing. Okay, it's a real thing, and it's his desire that his joy be in you and I. I don't know about you, but I want it. I need it. I think we all need it. That my joy might remain in you. You know, sometimes we can experience the joy of the Lord, and yet it doesn't remain in it. But his desire is that his joy would remain in you and I. Amen. And that your joy might be full. I think that's how we get the fullness of joy, is when we get his joy, when we get his love, his spirit, his word, when we get those things in us. And you know, those things are unseen things in the natural, but they're the most precious things in life. That's how people have real happiness in life, is not by the things you see, not by what you can gain in this world and what man says about you, is when God himself imparts to us something. That's where happiness comes from. Too many people chase happiness by chasing things in the world. Well, if I just get through this college and I get this degree, if I just get this job, if I just get this house, if I just have this really cool car, if I just, you know, get married, and well, and then after they're married, if I could just have some other spouse. See, they think those things give you joy. You can't get real joy from the things of the world or even from another human being. Amen. Real joy comes from Jesus Christ. Amen. And we want his joy in us. Now, Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, that when I think about that, I say, well, if we don't have the joy of the Lord, we're not going to be very strong. If the joy of the Lord is our strength, we need the joy of the Lord. How are we going to overcome all the trials and tests in this life without the joy of the Lord? Amen. Praise God. I feel good now. I feel better. The joy of the Lord. That His joy is our strength. His joy is how we overcome. His joy is what we need to fight. To inspire to fight us. To fight the devil. Amen. So it's plain to me that Jesus wanted us to have His joy. It's very plain to me. You know, I like to think about what did God intend in life. I know we deal a lot with the way things are and the way conditions are, but I like to think about what did He really want for me? Right? What did He want for me? You know, I know He wanted me to be saved. Amen. He didn't want us to be lost. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? I don't believe God desires us to be lost. I believe He wants us to be saved. Being lost and in sin, that's a fallen condition. That brings suffering. That brings sorrow. It brings death. It brings sickness. It brings all those things. But what did He want for us? He wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He wanted an intimate relationship with us. He wanted to be able to speak to us and for us to hear Him. He wanted us to have His Spirit, His love, His joy, His grace, and I want it.
Amen.
I want it today.
Amen.
If that's what He wants for me, that's what I want.
Amen.
Because I figured this out, and it takes, I'm kind of slow, so it takes me a while, but I figured out His way is better than my way. The things that I want don't make me happy.
Amen.
I'm talking about the flesh side of the human being side, you know, that human side, you know, that the things that I think I want, I've realized those things don't make me happy. But the things that He wants me to have, that's what makes me happy.
Amen.
That's what gives me peace and contentment and comfort is the things that we get from God. Lord, give us Your joy today.
Yes.
Fill us with Your Spirit today. You know, there's a lot of sad people today, you know, and part of the Christian experience is going through sorrow. Now, I'm not saying it's all that joy, but I believe that in the midst of great trials, we can still have His joy.
Yes.
He wanted His joy to remain in us. He wanted His Spirit to remain. So I believe just like, you know, there's hurricanes and those great winds, you know, that go around the center of the eye. But in the middle of the storm, there's a calm.
Amen.
He is that calm in the middle of the storms of life. And we can stay in that eye of the storm. That doesn't mean there's no storm. It means there's great storms. And we get away from Him, you start hitting the high winds. You start hitting the most severe part is when you start getting away from Him. So let's stay in Him. Let's go to John 16. I want to read a good portion of this today. Verse 19. Amen.
Amen.
John 16, verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask Him and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, ye shall see me? You know, disciples didn't understand everything He said, and neither do we understand everything. But Brother John, all the mysteries, yeah, we understand all the mysteries He wanted us to understand, but we don't understand all mysteries of everything. There's so many things we don't understand, right? So, verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but look, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. That's a promise. See, sometimes you stand for God, you go through trials. All that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. It's a promise that you're going to be persecuted. But your sorrow shall be turned to joy. Now watch. A woman, when she's in travail, has sorrow because her hour's come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Praise God. Sharon has to remember that now. She's getting close to that time, right? Does that mean that's going to be a boy? I don't know. All right. We'll find out soon enough. Verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Now, he's connected to joy. Jesus is connected to our joy. And I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Amen. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Let me stop right there for a moment. Sometimes we're guilty of not believing God for something. Amen. Sometimes we're not bold enough with God. His word says, come boldly to the throne of grace. See, that's what sin does. Sin destroys confidence with God. Living worldly destroys confidence with God, and you don't ask for anything. You're just living in condemnation, you're living in guilt, and you don't have any faith to ask. But see, when by His grace we can live above and overcome sin, and then we can ask boldly, coming to the throne of grace. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need more of your joy. I need more of your peace. I need more of your spirit. Praise God. Boldly ask. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing, that your joy, ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. He wants our joy to be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I, look at this, and I say not unto you, I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. Verse 28, I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again, I leave and go to the Father. Amen. Of course, we understand that. You know, there's not three persons. It's one God in three offices, right? One Spirit. His disciples said unto him, lo, that now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. But this we believe, that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Amen. Look at verse 30. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see, our joy comes from that fact that he overcame. Our joy doesn't come from our actions. Our joy doesn't come from what we do. Our joy comes from what he accomplished. Look at those disciples. They thought, we believe, oh, we see it plain now. Oh, Lord, we're with you. He says, you're going to scatter. Right now, you're going to scatter. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. You think more highly of yourself than you should, because you're going to fall down. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. See, he never expected them to get joy out of their actions. The joy that we get is from his actions and his overcoming power. Amen. Never from ourselves. If you start depending on yourself, your joy goes down. Say, oh, I'm doing pretty good right now, but just wait. He's saying, shortly, you're going to fall. You're going to fall, see? And then if your joy depends on you, where does your joy go? It goes down. See, it doesn't remain. So what is the joy of the Lord? Have you ever thought about it? What, when it says the joy of the Lord, what is that? When you talk about it, us receiving that, you know, I'm sure there's many different definitions. You know, I was looking at something that said the gladness of heart that comes from knowing God, abiding in Christ, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Think about it. The gladness of heart. Gladness of heart. You know, you ever have a happy heart? You know, when you're happy in your heart, it shows on your face. When you're sad in your heart, it shows on your face. Right? You wouldn't believe what a preacher has to look at sometimes. All right? But the Bible said, trust not their faces, right? Amen. And my brother Jerry helped me with that, Sharon. He would say, listen, when you're preaching, don't look at their faces, because people don't realize that you see their face even though you're looking right at them. And they're actually thinking of other things than what their face looks like. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Sometimes I'd have to run looking at people's face, right? So anyway, what do they say? If you're happy, you know, notify your face. You know, like a little smile helps once in a while. But anyway, there is something about gladness in heart. It does reflect on your life. Not just in the moment, but your life testifies whether you're really a happy person or not. And some people, sadly enough, they're just not happy people. And I hate to pick on this, but I'm going to do it anyway. When you're busy criticizing everybody, you're just not a happy person. You're not reflecting a happy heart. You're reflecting a sad heart. You're yielding to that negative side. Try to find something good in other people. Try to see something good in other people. If you want to find something bad, we all have faults.
Amen.
You know, and while we're busy pointing out other people's faults, we can't see our own. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Having a critical spirit is one way to drive out the joy of the Lord from your life. Because you're choosing, whether you realize it or not, you're choosing to dwell on the negative side and the faults of others. You're pointing out. You remember when you got a finger pointing this way, there's three pointing back, right? Judge not, lest ye be judged. With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Where does mercy come into play? Mercy, you know, doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make sense. It's not fair, it's not justice, but mercy's from God.
Amen.
And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I want mercy.
Amen.
I want His mercy on me, because if I get what I deserve, I'm dead. Not only dead, I'm going to hell, which we talked about last week. What a bad place that is. God help us. Praise the Lord. So, having the joy of the Lord, this gladness of heart from knowing God, and we'll talk more about that, and staying in Christ, being filled with the Holy Ghost, that does not mean you don't have any trouble. It doesn't mean that. See, so you got to get that out of your mind. If the devil can set up an image in your mind, well, I'm not a Christian because I have trouble all the time. No, Christians are in trouble all the time. Christians have trouble. Listen, being a Christian is not a picnic. It's not a walk through the flowers. It's a war every day.
Amen.
Every day we're in a battle. But we can still, in the midst of the battle, have the joy of the Lord with us.
Amen.
All right, it doesn't mean that we don't have trials. But when we know the Lord, we can have His joy in the midst of those great trials. In the midst of great suffering, even. That sounds contradictory, but there's many things with God that are a paradox. All right, so we have many battles, many trials, many wars, but you know what? It's good to know the end of the story. Every day we have battles and trials, and we're fighting the enemy, we're fighting ourselves, and we're fighting all these things, but I'm thankful to know I know the end of the story. I know the King of Kings. I know the Lord of Lords. I know the kingdom that will have no end. And I'm siding, I choose to side with Him. I will bear His reproach in this world because I know Jesus will reign.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
King of Kings, Lord. How do we find this joy? I say this, when we find Him, we find this joy. Find Him. Seek Him with all your heart. You know, God has designed this life so that we need to seek Him. That's such an individual thing. We all come to church and we're seeking something. And you know, people even that don't go to church, they're seeking something. They're looking for something to fulfill. He's the answer. I'm convinced of that. Out of all the ways people can try and find peace, I believe Jesus Christ is the answer. That He's the one that satisfies. And I was reading the scriptures the other day, and actually I was walking and listening to Alexander Scorby, and it was that story about the woman at the well. You know, and Jesus is sitting there, and it said He was tired. I thought, you know, He was in that human flesh, He would get tired, you know. It says He wept, you know, at Lazarus dying, and then, but He's tired, He's sitting at the well. And then this woman comes to the well, and then God starts to move, right? He says, "Woman, give me a drink." And He says, "It's not customary for you, Jews, to interact with Samaritans." You know, there was like a racial issue back there, right? It was a problem. They didn't interact, right? So He says, "If you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink."
Amen.
Now, I love that. I love that. If you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask me for a drink.
Amen.
And then she starts thinking, well, you don't have anything to draw. You're making yourself greater than, you know, our fathers that dig this well. And she starts interacting with Him. It's good to interact with Jesus, right? He says, "The water that I give is living water. And you drink this living water, you'll never thirst again."
Amen.
What a claim.
Amen.
You know, I'm here today to say it's true.
Amen.
Drink from His living water.
Yes.
It satisfies. Jesus satisfies our soul.
Hallelujah.
What is this living water? See, it's Him. It's His Spirit. When we receive Christ, it satisfies more than anything in this world can satisfy.
Amen.
The pleasures of this life can't touch what His Spirit does for us. When we taste once of that living water, it satisfies us. Praise God. I think about that. How do we find joy? The joy of the Lord? Find Him. We find joy. See, He is our strength. He is our joy. He is our peace. He is our righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. He is our righteousness. He's our joy. He's our peace. He's everything to us. So find Him. You find experiencing God brings joy to your life.
Amen.
Now, if you've had an experience with God, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you've never experienced God, if you've never really had an experience with God, you don't know what we're talking about.
Amen.
But it brings joy. Joy unspeakable, full of glory, bubbling over. Praise God.
Amen.
Knowing that He is, and that He's mindful of me.
Amen.
He's mindful of me. When you experience God, He makes it very personal. He comes and he reveals Himself to you personally. The new birth is all about that. Jesus Christ revealing personally to you where you know that God touched you. God visited you. You say, "Put me on a lie detector." I can tell you, I met God.
Amen.
How do you know? I was there.
Amen.
I met God. Something happened, and now I know He touched me.
Amen.
I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
Because He made a change in my life. And when He came, and I remember that time He came, and He touched me, and every time I have a visitation from God, there's joy.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is present. Oh my, He changes us. Knowing He is, that He's mindful, no worldly pleasure can touch that. No lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. All those things, really, if you follow them out, they bring sorrow. But experiencing God, it brings joy that can remain. Knowing this is really what I was made for. This is what I was made for. I was made to interact with God. And step back for a minute. That's the truth about life that people don't understand. People trying to live apart from God, they don't realize they were made to interact with God. We were designed to interact with our God because He wanted fellowship. So He put an empty space inside of us that only He could fill.
Yeah.
And when He fills it, there's joy unspeakable.
Yeah.
He is our joy. He is our strength. It's really important that we have that. See, and if you're really sad, it's not just because you have trials, because you can have joy in the midst of trials. His joy can remain. If you're sad and you're down and you're in the doldrums, what do you need to get? You need to seek Him. You need an experience with God. Amen. You know, people that focus on the negatives and a lot, and I was talking to a brother, and he was really down, and he's fighting depression. I said, listen, brother, you need to get hold of God. You need to get a hold of God. That obliterates depression. Having an experience with God obliterates depression. It obliterates the doldrums. It obliterates sadness. How can we be sad when we're in the presence of God and He's saying, I love you, I died for you, I saved you, my blood was shed for you. Amen. You're my child. Listen, there's no sadness there.
Amen.
And you know, there's no criticizing others in there either.
Amen.
There's the negatives go away. All you see is positive. Everything looks good. You come out of the presence of God, everybody looks good. Even people that are really bad, they look good.
Amen.
Because you have joy inside. And no man can take it away from me.
Amen.
I know God and He knows me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The joy we experience when we find God. Why is it important? Because we live in a day where discouragement is everywhere. Depression is everywhere. Suicide is rampant. People see no hope. I tell you what, one moment in His presence obliterates all that discouragement, obliterates depression, obliterates suicidal thoughts, which are all the devil. He doesn't want us to take our life. He wants to live life more abundantly. Have exceeding joy. His joy. Praise God. The joy of the Lord. Amen. Can we look at a few examples? Let's look at David. Oh my, he knew about joy. 2 Samuel 6. 2 Samuel 6. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Somebody's getting excited out in the fellowship hall. I don't know who it is, but praise the Lord. Sounds like Jamie. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. Oh, I love this. Let's just look at this now. And it was told David, saying, the Lord bless the house of Obedom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. Oh, my. You take the word of God into your house. Take the word of God into your heart. You're going to be blessed. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom. I'm probably saying it wrong. Into the city of David with gladness. He brought the ark of God into the city of David with gladness. He was taking the word of God into his city, and he just had gladness. Look at what's happening here. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings every six paces. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. What does that look like? Praise God. I'm not going to demonstrate it. But I want you to picture in your mind David dancing with all his might. All his might, he's dancing. Why? He couldn't contain the joy. Why? Because the ark was coming back. And he knew that that ark meant blessing for him. Brother and sister, when you get into the Word of God and the Word of God gets into you, there's blessings coming.
Hallelujah.
Beyond measure. Beyond what we can contain. We get overflowing with joy.
Amen.
Reading the Bible is not a drudgery. It's the greatest thing we can do in our life.
Amen.
Is read the Bible and pray. We should be excited. We shouldn't approach it as a law. Don't let the devil steal it from you.
Amen.
We're approaching an experience with God when we approach the Bible, when we approach a prayer closet.
Amen.
And that brings joy.
Amen.
Praise God. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shoutings. Woo! There were shoutings. With the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Saul's daughter looked through the window and saw King David leaping. He was leaping. What does leaping look like? I'm not going to demonstrate. Leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Oh my. He didn't care what she thought. You know what? I believe David didn't care what anybody thought. He was overcome with joy. He was overcome with gladness. Why? The ark was coming back. The word was coming back. Praise God. Do you understand that what that means in our life? If we get a revelation on the word of God, if we had a revelation of what God did in this end time, praise God. Amen. I don't have to live under creeds of men. I don't ever have to live under false doctrine. I've been set free. Amen. To the purity of the word of God. The word of God is pure to me. I have the same gospel, the same exact gospel that Paul had. It's my gospel. I'm not living under some false light.
Amen.
That brings joy in our heart.
Thank you,
praise Lord. God. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh my, he danced. He danced with joy. There was shouting and trumpets.
Amen.
Praise God. Can you picture that?
Hallelujah.
Brother and sister, that's for us.
Yes.
Don't think, well, that's not my life. I'm just miserable all the time. You don't have to be miserable all the time. You can experience God. You can humble yourself and get into the word of God. And remember, the right attitude towards any promise of God brings it to pass.
Amen.
When we approach this Bible, we say, Lord, this is your word. This is not like any other book. Lord, I can't understand one word of it without you. But I'm coming to this book. I'm coming to you. I want your spirit to come upon me as I come upon this book. Quicken that word to me. And you know what? He will quicken that word. And when God quickens his word in your heart, there's joy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, when someone says, I was over in Melbourne and the brother called to me and said, Brother John, I was praying about something for days and you came in. I got my answer today. It brings joy.
Yes.
It wasn't me that answered him. It was the word of the Lord that quickened to him. He was able to look past the skins, the flesh. And look beyond and see the word that's going forth. Brother says, that's what you got to do. God always hides behind skins. He always did. He did in the Old Testament. Does it in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, help us. Oh, get back into God's word. You want joy? Get back to the word of God. Get back to reading the word of God. And you'll get joy out of it. You know, some of the greatest moments of my life where I had joy, I wasn't looking for anything. I wasn't asking for some deep revelation. I was just reading his word.
Amen.
And all of a sudden I'm reading his word and he starts talking to me through his word.
Yes.
Now, it's not like reading another book.
Amen.
The author of this word gets involved when you read it.
Amen.
He comes to those that approach his word. This is the greatest thing he could ever given us. Don't be surprised if you don't have joy when you put his word away from you. Get back to the word of God. Get back to the scriptures.
Amen.
That's how you find joy.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Get back to the, it brings joy. Who cares what the critics say? You know, we ought to thank the critics. Next time somebody criticizes you, I sincerely want you to do this. I want you to go up there and shake their hand with joy and say, thank you. You know, I can't get into the Hall of Fame without going through the Hall of Critics. So I want to thank you. Because I'm going to the Hall of Fame. I'm going to God's Hall of Fame. And I had to go through the critics. So God bless you today. The critics have a purpose. Trials have a purpose. All things working together for our good. Everything he allows us to come our way, we say, thank you, Lord. I don't understand that one, but praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let his joy remain because I trust him that he's in control. The devil's not in control of my life. God's in control. The devil is a tool in the hand of God.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
David dancing with all his might. Don't you love that?
Amen.
I love somebody that's got liberty to praise God.
Yes.
They don't care what other people think. They don't care what other people say. They just, it just wells up from the, it's like a well, springing well up within the inside and overflows.
Amen.
You can't say it now. Don't praise the Lord. They say, praise God anyhow.
Amen.
I remember I met this woman where a place where I used to work, and she just was full of joy. And you know, she had a lot of things against her. She had a lot of critics. She was in a kitchen like where I used to work in a factory. And she was a Pentecostal sister. She loved the Lord Jesus. And, you know, the guys in the shop, you know, they used to make fun of her and criticize her and stuff. But I just loved her. I was like, you know, she wasn't, from a worldly point of view, okay, she wasn't the most beautiful woman in the world, you would say. Okay, she was heavy set, all right? So she was tall, big sister, but she was full of joy. Full of joy, praise God. She was unashamed about it. Sinners all around, praise the Lord. God bless you. I love that. She didn't care. You know what? She knows what's right. When we get all concerned about what sinners think, something wrong somewhere. Oh, I can't worship the Lord because there's a sinner present. That sinner needs to see you worship the Lord.
Amen.
That sinner needs to hear you say something good about the Lord.
Amen.
He said, if you're ashamed of me in this wicked generation, I'll be ashamed of you in front of my Father and angels.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So the sister, she just was full of joy, you know. Praise God, praise God. And then when I got near, oh my, we just had a time. We start talking about the Lord, you know. Praise God. Amen. Don't be afraid to share your joy.
Amen.
That's what the world's hungering for.
Glory.
They're hungering for the joy of the Lord. If you have it, let it out. Let it out. Say something nice. Praise the Lord. How about Miriam? She's playing the tambourine down by the Red Sea. Did she have some joy? They crossed the Red Sea. And you know, the walls of water on each side, I don't know how God did it, but I believe he did it. And they walked on dry ground. It wasn't muddy when they were walking. They walked on dry ground. And so they get across, and then God lets the Egyptians go in. They follow, how stupid that was, following them into the Red Sea, and then God closes the Red Sea on the Egyptians. He wipes them out. He wipes out the enemy. And so there's Israel. You know, look at the trial they had just come out of. Look at that. They were faced with the Egyptian army's going to kill them. They're going to, you know, sometimes we get these places in our life. We don't know where we're going to go. He makes a way where there is no way. That's all I can say. He makes a way when there is no way.
That's true.
And so they were stuck. The Egyptian army's there. The Red Sea's there. And then God made a way through the Red Sea. All things are possible with God. He makes a way where they go through, and God destroys the enemy, and they got joy.
Amen.
My God is victorious.
Amen.
My God is God.
Amen.
They thought they had many gods in Egypt, but my God is greater than their God.
Yes.
Praise God.
Glory.
Mary is playing the tambourine. She's dancing. They're having a little Pentecostal meeting.
Amen.
Shouting, dancing, tambourine.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We get too quiet. We really do. We're so quiet that the brothers down south wonder if we're even saved. They're praying for us people up north. You know, they're saying, oh my, look at those brothers. Where's the joy of the Lord in the camp? Where's the shout of the King in the camp? Hallelujah. Joy. There's joy when God brings victory. And we realize that's why when we go through trials and God brings victory, we get joy out of it. See, there's a purpose in the trials. When you're in the midst of a dark trial, remember, there's joy coming because there's overcoming coming. He's going to overcome for us.
Amen.
Don't just look where you are. Look where you're going.
Amen.
Praise God. Look at the day of Pentecost. Did they have some joy? Woo! They had some joy. But remember, before the Holy Ghost came, they were sad. They were waiting. They were feeling bad because, you know, they denied Jesus. Peter denied Jesus. How bad do you think he felt? He felt bad. We know he felt bad. And so they're all feeling bad because they all ran. They all scattered, left him alone. And I thought, my, what did we do? They took him. They killed him. Oh, my. Can you believe they killed him? I can't believe it, man. It was Jesus. You know, sometimes when you're feeling your worst, there's joy just beyond. There's joy just beyond. See, because why? Because God has never left us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
So in the midst of trouble, he's just about to deliver us. And there they were sitting in the upper room. You know, when they were in the upper room, they weren't thinking, boy, this upper room is going to be remembered for all ages. People are going to say upper room with joy in their heart. No, they're sitting there going, ugh, this is miserable. But then, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. There came a sound as a mighty rushing wind. Oh, I wish it would come today. I wish in this building there would come a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. Do you think they felt joy? They were overflowing with joy. They were bursting with joy. You know, they were exploding with joy. So much so they went out and they had to tell somebody it happened just like he said it would happen. It happened. The Holy Ghost came.
Amen.
This is what happened. And they started to explain to people in their language and people heard them in other languages. And listen, they were so full of joy, they were staggering like drunken men.
Amen.
There's joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
There's joy in the Holy Ghost experience. The Catholic Church tried to change that into something formal that is completely of the devil.
Yes.
Walking around like hands folded. Amen. Amen. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is real. It's joy. It's happiness. It's declaring the truth. I know because I was there. He came inside of me. Hallelujah. Talk about joy. You get the Holy Ghost, you got joy.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know what? They were baptized with the Holy Ghost there. And he came again a couple days later. Right, after they healed that man and the man was healed by the gate called Beautiful and then they dragged him in front of them, and they said, Lord, you heard their threatenings. You heard their threatenings, Lord. Praise God. Thank you for letting us be beat for you, Lord. See, there's joy in the midst of troubles when the Holy Ghost is in your life, quickening to you what a privilege it is to suffer for his name's sake. Joy. They were staggering like drunk. And they get together and then they're praying and they said, Lord, give us more boldness. Why? Because boldness came on the day of Pentecost. When they were cowering in a corner, they were believers, but they were cowering. They were afraid, but when the Holy Ghost comes, it gives you joy. It gives you boldness, and you can speak, and you don't care what anybody thinks. You're dancing with David. You're dancing with Miriam. You're dancing with the people on Pentecost. You got the same Holy Ghost that was on them. You want the world to know what happened to you. You're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. You know he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. I want everybody to know Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want everybody to know the joy that he brings me.
Hallelujah.
He is my peace. He is my comfort.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's what we need today is another outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know, you don't have to wait for the church. You can have it on your own. When that Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, it's open for everybody. Seek, if you seek me with all your heart, you will surely find me. When we seek him with all of our heart, we will find him. We will find joy. We will find the Holy Ghost. We'll find boldness. We'll find power. We'll find confidence.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. That's God's remedy for depression. Is the Holy Ghost. You can go to counselors all you want, but they ain't got the joy of the Lord. They're going to shove some pills down your throat and you won't even be in your right mind. Get the Holy Ghost. You don't got to pay for those pills. It's free. Hallelujah. That's what God wants us to experience, is a Pentecostal experience. When we receive His Spirit, His joy literally explodes in us. You ever have that feeling inside of you? My insides are going to explode. Lord, what are you doing to me? Is my immortal body coming right now? Because this immortal must be coming, because this mortal is about to explode. Hallelujah. If you've never experienced it, you think I'm crazy. But if you have, you know what I'm talking about. Our God is a consuming fire. He comes down inside of us. He sanctifies us. He cleanses us. He changes us. He gives us His joy. His joy. I want the joy of Jesus in me. Settle down. Be quiet. I can't. I got the joy of Jesus in me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, do you want His joy? He wants us to have His joy. Now, I got to talk about something. What prevents that joy from coming? We got to talk about this side of it, because there's things that will prevent this joy. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, Lord. Oh, crazy people. Thank God for the nuts, right? Without the nuts, we got a bunch of yunk. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Are you there? Hebrews 12. I'm just going to read a couple verses. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men. Now let me stop there. All men. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Follow peace with all men. Don't make war, okay? Amen. Follow peace with all men. Amen. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, now this is serious, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh Lord, help us. Do you realize holding a grudge, not forgiving, having a root of bitterness will drive the joy of the Lord right out of your life? You may not even realize what you're doing. You may think you're justified. They did me wrong. I don't like that person. They got a devil on them. I don't like this. I don't like that. You're not hurting those other people. You're hurting yourself. Look what it says, many be defiled. If many were defiled in Paul's day, how many are defiled in this day? The root of bitterness springing up is going to trouble you.
Amen.
Bitterness. Lack of forgiveness. I want to read something Brother Bram said. Prophet of God, vindicated by God in the church ages. He said, Pergamene church age. Now listen close to this. It's not very long, but this is powerful. I want you to listen close. And just always keep humble. Now everyone in the church has something to do, but don't never pull it aside for something else. Let it blend in with the rest of the church. It's for God, all things. See? Don't everybody want to speak in tongues and everybody interpret.
Amen.
Try to do something good and just keep being good. Now listen. Hold no malice. No grudges. Don't let any bitterness. No matter how bad the person is and how bad they talk about you, don't you never think evil in your heart against them. Because right there, the devil will set right in. Work up something right there. How does the devil get into us? You let bitterness come in. you think evil, right, of somebody. Never think evil in your heart against them, because right there, see, here's what we need to understand. When we allow our mind to think evil of others and hold bitterness against others, we're opening the door to evil spirits.
Yes, yes,
we're saying, come on in.
Yes,
make me miserable and everybody around me.
Amen.
That's what bitterness does. You know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Get around people that are bitter and unhappy. They're not happy unless everybody's miserable. That's not a Christian.
Amen.
Christians full of the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
A Christian thinks on the positive, finds the positive things, not the negative things all the time.
Amen.
The glass, listen, a Christian, the glass is not half empty. The glass is half full.
Amen.
What am I saying? They're looking at the same thing,
yes, sir,
but they see the positive.
Yes.
The glass is not no different. Some people say, well, it's half empty. No, bad, 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 bad. Things are bad, 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 bad. The Christian says, things are good. God's on our side. We won the war. Hallelujah. Can you say, oh God, help us, Lord. This is serious. If you hold a grudge, say, come on in, devil. Make me miserable. Make everybody I love miserable. Because right there then, don't you never think evil, no matter how bad they talk about you, don't you never think evil in your heart against them, because right there, the devil will set right in and work up something right there. Just keep it all covered with godly love, confession, and making right, and do good to those who do evil to you. Now that's not doctrine of Brother Branham. That's Jesus' doctrine.
Amen.
Amen. Can we all say amen to that?
Amen.
Now listen to what he says here. I love this. Do good to those who do evil to you. If you only do good to those who do good to you, why, Jesus said, don't the publicans the same? The sinners, anybody can be good to those that's good to them. Amen?
Amen.
But we're not just anybody here. Christians. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the power of God. Now listen. Sinners, anybody can be good to those that's good to them. But be good to those who are not good to you. Do something for those that would not do nothing for you. Woo! Oh, Brother John, that's too much Holy Ghost for me. Be good to those who are not good to you. Do something for those that would not do nothing for you. Speak a good word for the man that would speak evil against you.
Amen.
Woo! That's Holy Ghost religion.
Amen.
You can't do that without the joy of the Lord. You can't do that without the love of God.
Amen.
Right? You hear what he's saying?
It's true.
He's just saying exactly what Jesus taught us to do. But he's just bringing it out like a little more clear. Be good to those who are not good to you. All right, somebody's thinking about somebody right now, okay? Because we all got somebody that's not good to us, right? Do something for those that would not do good. Speak a good word for the man. Now, there's a purpose in this. I want you to catch this. This is powerful. Speak a good word for the man that would speak evil against you. And that way, you keep all the bitterness out of your heart. And you're always in love with everybody then, as long as you stay in love. That's it. Praise God. Class dismissed. If you got that, you got it. When you can speak good of those that speak evil of you, that's a testimony. Something happened to me. I've already passed from death unto life. You can have this world. I got another one.
Amen.
Praise God. Woo! How do you keep joy in your life? Forgive. Repent. Repent. Oh, let's turn. I'm trying to finish up. Let's turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Our buddy David. Was he perfect? No. But he was a man after God's own heart. All right. Psalm 51. Oh, it's so hard. Praise the Lord. I want the joy of the Lord. Psalm 51. My Bible says this is a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone to Bathsheba. So David did something horrible, treacherous. You know, he had Uriah killed, basically. And he was so deceiving about it. Look how bad that was. See, but God can forgive. God can forgive us. Look at his attitude. Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners shall be converted. O God, restore to me the joy. See, repentance brings joy. I'm not talking about making an apology to God. I'm not talking about doing wrong and say, oh, I'm sorry about that, and then you keep doing the same thing. I'm talking about real repentance. I'm talking about brokenness. A broken and a contrite heart, that will not despise. Broken before God, realizing how much you've hurt God, realizing you're wrong. Lord, forgive me. Real repentance brings joy. There's joy shall come in the morning. Praise God. That's so wonderful. Luke chapter 15. I want you to see something else. I'm trying to finish up here. Luke 15. Praise the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to start with verse 1. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost. Who's talking here? Jesus. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Which think they need no repentance, right? Verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels. Do you believe that? Of God over one sinner that repented. Do you realize there's joy taking place when you repent? Amen. There's joy in heaven, and what happens when you repent, you make contact with God, and that joy spills over onto you.
Thank you, Lord.
There's joy. God is happy when we repent. He's not happy when we're proud. He's not happy when we're lifted up. I don't believe he's happy when we're criticizing other people. I think he gets happy when we speak a good word for someone that's speaking evil of us. That sounds crazy. But I think God smiles. And he gives you a little bit of his joy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't you love that? And then he goes into the prodigal son. The prodigal son comes back. Repentance comes back. And there's joy. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. What's God saying? There's joy after repentance. God help us to see it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Be not overcome with of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You don't overcome evil with evil. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not for us to take vengeance on people. It's for us to do good. Even the Bible says if you do good to your enemy, God will reap coals of fire on their head. So I know that's a kind of motive is a little strange, but let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm trying to finish up. I know I said that already. Praise the Lord Jesus. Just a couple scriptures and we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God. Do you want to do the will of God? So is the will of God that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Do we have to say it again? Honor all men.
Amen.
Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. That's Trump, Maureen. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. See, all of our human reasoning goes out. We reason, if they're good, I'll be good. You scratch my back, I'll scratch you. God's love is a choice. God's love is unconditional. God chooses to do good to people that don't deserve it. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Where would we be if we had to earn it? Amen. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. I know someone's saying, Brother John, you read that scripture all the time. Well, someday I won't have to read it anymore when we finally get it. Do we get it? He was our example. When he was reviled, he reviled not. Help us. Help us, Lord. You know, what did he do on that cross? He forgave those that put the nails in his hands and his feet. That's God. The works that I do, shall ye do also. I say, if he lives in us, we will have that kind of forgiving spirit. We will forgive those that do evil to us. It's a revelation in our heart. It's a deep revelation. Pleasing God is more important than defending ourselves. pleasing God. Help us, Lord, to live that way. Not to live unto ourselves, but to live unto God. Let's all stand. I have one more scripture I need to read. Ephesians 4:29. Finally, he's done. Joy, there's joy. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Wow, can you imagine if we obeyed that? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, we know what bitterness is, and wrath, and anger, and clamor. What's clamor? Go look it up. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. See, he's telling us how to keep the joy of the Lord. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Repentance, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, humble ourselves. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Live pleasing to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, truly the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Lord, we need your joy. Lord, I pray that you destroy the works of the enemy on your people, Lord, here today, trying to make us depressed and miserable, trying to get us to focus on the wrong things, Lord. Help us to focus on you. May we forever look to Calvary. May we forever see the price that you paid, that we could be free, and then we could have your spirit, and then we could have your joy. And that your joy could remain in us, Lord. Lord, I realize this is a simple thought today, Lord, but there's something in it so powerful, God. May it penetrate our hearts. May we see the need, our need, to live this way, Lord. To live unto you. To speak good of those that would speak evil of us. Help us, Lord Jesus. Bless each and every one here. Pour out your spirit, O God. When they approach your word, O God, may they experience you. Not just the letter of the word, but the spirit that wrote the word. Come, Lord Jesus. Bless each and every one today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. What a wonderful God we serve today.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. Let's sing that to him. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve.